I am Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And we're paranormal specialists who live in the most haunted city on Earth, Savannah, Georgia. Every day is Halloween in our line of work, so join us as we spin true tales of haunts, murders, and disturbing Savannah history. I'm Madison.
I'm Chris.
And welcome to the most haunted city on Earth.
Hey, y'all. We need your votes. Before we get into today's episode, our podcast has made it into the finals for Connect Savannah's Best of 2023. We were nominated as Best Local Podcast. I was nominated for Best Local Theater Director under the name John Taylor Timmons, and our theater where we filmed the podcast, the Savannah Underground, was nominated for Best Local Theater Production. It is an honor to be nominated, and it would help a lot if y'all went online and voted. You can vote daily. Yes, you can vote every single day. Go to connectsavannah.com to vote. The podcast is listed under the media category, and everything else is under arts and city life. Let's be the first paranormal podcast to win this category. I'll post a link in the description and on Facebook.
You know, the fly guy, the one that
has triggers.
Yes. JT was like, no, there's no way he actually had that. I was like, it really was. It was a thing.
More than that, the vial of poison that he carried was because he worked for DuPont. And DuPont did all their experimentation out at Oakland Island.
And I told
you. That was their, like, they used to irradiate things. They had a chamber where they'd hit it with, like, radiation, like nuclear radiation, like byproduct and stuff. And one of the most fascinating things that came out of it was they created flea collars. That's how flea collars came to be, was they were using poisons because these insects were infected and radiated and dangerous. And if you got bit by them, you could get very ill. So they were coming up with all kinds of insecticides to, you know, contain them. And it was their work mats. And they would literally cut strips of the work mats and tie them to their wrists.
Oh, wow.
So that, you know, to keep bugs away.
Yeah.
But it turned out that it was very caustic to the skin, so they marketed it for animals. So that's where we get flea collars from.
Oh, my God.
All right. So we've basically started the podcast,
that's
I think.
So
I'll
funny.
Probably just start it there. But, yes, you have not dropped into the middle of a podcast.
No.
Welcome.
When we tell you guys that this is, like, our normal conversations that we had, this is literally that it's very true. Welcome to another episode of The Most Haunted City on Earth. My name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And I'm JT Timmons.
I almost totally forgot. He's like,
what is my name again?
No, it's more like, we've been talking. What? Why are we introducing ourselves in the middle of the conversation?
Yes.
That's
well,
so funny.
If you were wondering what we were referring to, JT and I last night were watching Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil because, fun fact, JT is a bad Savannian and has not read.
Or a good Savannian, because there is a whole contingent of Savannians who are like, I will not read that.
Yeah.
You know, trying to capitalize on our quirkiness.
Boo.
New York writer.
Quirky.
Boo on that. It's a fun book and it's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I, you know what started this whole thing is I asked Chris if he knew Lady Chablis because she's like the coolest character.
She is.
And
she was wonderful and amazing.
And he does. I mean,
she
did.
Held up Club One for ages. You know, even when she moved away, she would come back and do these shows.
I remember seeing the poster.
Yep.
I think it's still up.
It's still up there.
Yeah, I think it's still up there. And she, you know, was truly a landmark character of Savannah.
So what was she? What was she like? You know,
just she was amazing.
Never
absolutely
met her.
Amazing. She was very warm and kind-hearted. On stage, she was ruthless.
We
saw that in the movie.
She's the Grand Empress.
The movie toned it down. She was amazing, and if you were in the audience, you're lucky enough to be in the audience. She was so
I would have loved to be
so fast. And we even I worked for a puppet company for years, and we had a puppet called Formica Dinette, which was not a direct model after, but a lot of the behaviors, a lot of the things, because it was such a popular thing to be razzed and to be approached by this over-the-top, wonderful character. So, I worked with Lady Chablis on a number of occasions because Savannah is a small town. you know, people might not know this listening. Mm-hmm. If you're not from Savannah, everybody knows everybody at some point.
It's true.
You know, as it goes along, you know, you're relatively new to Savannah, but you've already been in circles and seen how people are interconnected.
I mean, my brother is literally one of the most popular people in Savannah.
Right, absolutely.
Now. Like, I mean,
yeah.
He's he knows everyone, he can't go anywhere.
He took the reins of a much needed, you know, position as far as like the black entrepreneurs and that kind of thing, which, you know,
leader of that,
we need so many people to be stepping up to be the focal point.
Sure.
Because we have like Savannah's full of people who are startups and who are, you know, this is a big plug for Savannah out there. You can try anything you want here. You can really work at any capacity on any project of your dreams.
Cool.
And there will be support and there will be a way to do it. And if you fail, you won't be destroyed. And if you succeed, the whole city will come back under you and really, mm-hmm. really support you. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, we're doing it right now. Yeah. It's hard.
It's hard. No, I'm not saying that's not work.
It's like we've been working at it for what, almost... I mean, Red Eye's 10 years old, but we've been working at it for almost like 5 years now with, and then two-year anniversary today for the Savannah Underground.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. amazing.
That's like happy crazy. Yeah, we were able to just do like an immersive horror theater.
At a wedding venue.
That's where it started. And then we got this
shout
place.
Shout out to the Clyde.
Right, there you go.
It's great. So anyway, all right. They came for ghost stories.
Yeah.
So
oh, we're right. Gonna, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. This we is got, a ghost podcast.
We got
right.
two ghost stories for you today.
Is this ghost mail?
Yep, this is ghost mail.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yep. It's ghost mail. Send in your ghost mail. We need more. Send in your ghost mail. We will read it. We don't read them beforehand. I know I say that every ghost mail. A lot of, honestly, you know, like pair junkies will like be like, I want to hear about this. And we're like, okay.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I think we need to dedicate an entire show to doppelgangers. Because it
I was thinking the same thing.
I even looked at just our TikToks, and any TikTok that seems to mention doppelgangers seems to be a spike. So the interest in doppelgangers seems to be. So we should sit down and do a doppelganger.
I think so.
Yeah, doppelganger fiends.
They really are.
Well, I think it's such a fascinating thing, and it's such a creepy thing that I think just lives in us naturally. The fear of being replaced. You know, and that's relationships and jobs and everything. So the doppelganger kind of exists for us.
And you can talk about doppelgangers like all day.
Oh yeah,
like you're a serial storyteller.
Plenty of doppelganger encounters.
We had a Google form. I sent the pair junkies a Google form, and a lot of them like responded with really incredible info, just saying like, you know, the things they love about the show and just letting us know. And one pair junkie sent in, I was like, you know, what do you love most about the show? And it was literally more Chris.
More Chris.
Like, okay. I'm like, we have a lot of Chris in here, but okay. We
have more Chris. It's not possible.
It's not. But anyway. All right. Real fast. I just want to, thank, the newest pair of junkies. We're going to start with Sarah Booth, Lexi Dean, Aaron Arroyo, Tess McClure, and Nikki. Thank y'all so much for joining the Pair Junkie family. We're really excited to have you. And if you haven't joined the Pair Junkie family, please do. It supports us. It keeps us doing what we're doing. And to be honest, we're just trying to grow our community. Right now we have 72 incredible pair junkies, and we want to get to, you know, 100 here soon. And we're going to start doing more and more as, you know, we continue to get more and more support. So thank y'all so much. But moving on, let's go ahead and start up some stories. What do you say?
Woohoo.
Let's hear it.
Yay. All right. The first story is from Tiffany Shaw. This is the South African one that we talked about.
Oh, I'm excited.
A week ago.
I'm excited about this.
It's literally my story. Ah!
That's me.
That's the title.
That's literally me every single day internally. Yeah. Just, ah! That's a mood.
It is. All right, here we go. Hi, Madison, Chris, and JT. I'm Tiffany from South Africa, and I've had all kinds of experiences. I wanted to send my stories in for a while now, but I don't know where to start. Anyway, here's my attempt. Around the time when I was 6 years old, I was playing in my bedroom alone when a white mist came through the window. It stopped between the two single beds in the room to look at me before moving on through the wall on the other side of the room. I got up and ran to my parents, but they brushed it off and told me to keep playing and that it's just your imagination. Classic. In that same house, my older sister always had to sleep with her door closed because it sounded like someone was walking up and down the tiled hallway. Well, there you go, Maddie. I heard it too. A few weeks ago, I brought it up with her again, and she told me that it was a little boy who would stand in front of my parents' room at night and would stop her from going in to say that she was scared. That's Ooh. Creepy as crap. Okay. We moved into another house when I was around 7 or 8. It was previously a retirement home, which we renovated. Eek. This is where most of my experiences come from. I lived there from the age of 7 until I turned 21. Here are some of the stories I remember. The first time I experienced something in my new house was when I was in my childhood bedroom. My parents had their room light on and my door was open halfway. I couldn't sleep, so I ended up staring at the lit opening of the doorway. It was then that an orange creature, peeped into my room with its hands on the side of the door. All right. It was glowing orange and looked like it had an old diving uniform on. Those ones that are made up of metal. Oh, okay.
Oh, like
yeah, the yeah, yeah. Oh. like the
deep sea diver.
Yeah,
BioShock.
Big Daddy. Did he have a big drill? Like.
Yeah, I don't know. This is wild. It was either a diving mask or some kind of plague doctor mask. I'm not sure, but I have never seen anything like this before or after. It just peeked its head out and left. Nothing really happened for a while I was a teenager and moved into my older sister's bedroom when she got married. This room was always icy cold and had a cupboard in the corner with a bathroom behind it. Everything about that corner made me feel weird. It always felt like something was either in front of the cupboard door or behind it. The extractor fan was also right above the shower, and you could see the attic right through it. Sometimes, when I was showering, I felt a strong presence that someone was watching me through the gaps of the extractor fan.
Ew.
Yikes. When my niece was born, we would sit in that room together and play. There was one instance when she kept turning her head to look at the corner. My mom asked me why she was always looking there, and I said that I always felt like something was standing there. My mom jokingly asked my niece, who was 2 at the time, "Spooky, spooky, where's the spooky?" My niece then turned around and pointed to the empty corner. I think things started to get worse as the years went by. There was a lot of tension between my parents and I was really depressed and dealing with a lot. I was probably around 19 or 20 when this happened. I was doing the dishes when I felt something tugging on my t-shirt. As I turned around, I saw a small black figure dart into the room with the dodgy corner. I never said anything to anyone. The next week, my sister called me from the kitchen. She said she was cooking and felt something tug on her shirt. She told me it ran into the room. She reenacted the scene and it matched mine. Lots of things have happened since then, like seeing the bottom of half a person walking, stopping, and then running into nothing. A big bang on the door while watching Paranormal Activity and feeling like my soul was going to get pulled out of my chest and opening a closed door of an empty, hostile room, but also cute ghost cats saying goodbye.
That's cute. Yeah.
Okay.
At least there's one nice thing.
Yeah, I know, you know. Right? Since I started listening to paranormal podcasts, it really put my mind at ease. Things start to make sense, and I now realize how ghosts are actually so limited, LOL. I haven't seen much, and I don't want to either. Although I kind of miss it, I think the stories of others are good enough for me.
Yeah. You know, and that's a fair place to be with spirits, because, you know, I find that people who have paranormal experiences either become really intensely infatuated with it or they want absolutely nothing to do with it. And that's fine if you don't want anything to do with mm-hmm. the paranormal. And a lot of times that kind of naturally guards you because... Absolutely. nothing is trying to convince you of themselves. A lot of times they're showing themselves to you specifically because they want something or they want that attention. So if they know they're not going to get it from you, they're like, eh, whatever, you know, like, yeah. I'll just move on to the next person or the kid, you know, the niece or something.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
well, and classically, when you hear ghost stories about children, especially little boys, you hear about the tug, the tugging mm-hmm. on the back yeah. of shirts, the tugging on the back of your hair. It is mm-hmm. a very teasing kind of activity that you usually associate or, you know, have grown, come accustomed to whenever anyone talks about a child ghost, specifically boys. I found it more prevalent with boy ghosts than girl ghosts. Not to say that girl ghosts don't do it. It just seems like when you talk to people and they're like, oh yeah, they're a little boy ghost, and then he'll try to get your attention by tugging. Mm-hmm. Tugging on the back of your shirt is a big, like, and you even mentioned that in your previous home, your sister said that there was a boy in the hallway. You easily could have followed you to the new home. You
know? Right.
Could have been attached to the family and gone with you. So that is very interesting. White mist. Mists are always confusing.
Sure.
Because in many instances, a mist does not present any form of intelligence. It's just moving. You know, it's just present. And a lot of people...
No. Looked at her.
Well, that's,
well, that's
weird.
The one that I was saying was that's... like if it had like that kind of notion that you yeah. felt its presence and it was being aware of you, you're dealing with something a little trickier.
Yeah.
Because in my estimation, mists oftentimes, you know, for lack of a better terminology, the ectoplasmic residue. It's a residue of a spirit. It's still there. It's still charged. It generally usually doesn't have a pattern or anything. It'll maybe move in the same way every time you see it. You know, it'll come out of this area and go into that area because it's the last thing, the last remnant of its intelligence. But if you're dealing with a mist-like figure that looks at you or looms at you, then you're dealing with either a type of cryptid or a type of
right
of non-human entity that is in that form. And I am not brushed up on my African, South African,
I am not
spirit
either.
Lore. Yeah. I know, you know, I know the root lores of like where voodoo got their Lao and the general gods and mythology. But I am woefully ignorant of any of the African common ghosts or common creatures. So if you're out there and you have access to South African lore or African lore,
yes.
Please, you know, come in because it's not something that I had a lot. I guess the Gullah and Geechee give us a good indication.
Sure.
But that's 200 years ago.
You know, right.
They brought 200 years ago their thoughts and thought patterns into our culture, and it became infused in our culture, and it became infused in different practices, root doctoring, and things of that nature. But for the life of me, I'm like, oh, what do I know about sure. South Africa? You know, do I know any cryptids like off the top of my head? Do I know anything like that? And the truth is, I realize I don't. But I know that Africa is rich with these things.
Oh yeah.
There is mm-hmm. there's so much to offer us. And that a lot of Africa still has a lot of a naturalistic approach and a lot of, you know, great traditions, you know, passed down yeah, yeah. generation to generation to generation. So I feel like we could probably use a crash course, actually.
Right. I actually just emailed her while you're talking about that, and I said, hey, we loved your stories. Would you want to be on the show virtually to talk to us more about them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Absolutely. Look for that episode.
Right.
I'm also not done with her.
Well, and you know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, well, it's okay. I just wanted to let y'all know that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, so it is interesting, too, that, you know, because Africa is considered to be like the motherland sure. of sorts, you know, the origin of humanity. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it a very spiritually charged land in general. Mm-hmm. So I'm not surprised to hear that there's a lot of spiritual entities and things roaming around. On the topic of the mists, though, I do have an interesting photo that I wanted to show y'all. I know JT's seen it. I don't know if I've shown this one to you, Chris. But from a tour, there's at the Andrew Lowe house, basically on Halloween one year, there was this mist outside of the main window at like the second landing of the house. There's this really dense white mist that started forming into a figure. And we have a photo, actually, of what it formed into. And I kid you not, y'all, you're going to, I know TikTok's going to come for me for this one, but I promise you it was not Photoshopped. I was present when the photo was taken. And that person was not able to Photoshop within 30 seconds. But regardless, that is the photo of what the mist.
Oh yeah, no, that's not good.
It looks like it's straight out of Spirit Halloween. That's the only way I can describe it. It absolutely does.
And, you know, fascinatingly enough, and we talk about this a lot, is a lot of times when you're dealing with mist, you're dealing with the degradation of a spirit. You know, it goes from a full apparition of recognition to a shadowy apparition where you can't really tell who it is or what it is. You just have general features, and then it just keeps going and going. And then by the time it gets to a mist, it has lost its form. But it is possible that if a mist is in front of a group of people and the group of people are trying desperately to identify it, it can use that energy, the energy of trying to be identified, to form. And if it's a bunch of scared people, it can form into a scary thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's one of those things. It's like you have to remain calm in a lot of these situations because spirits are very much trying to connect with you. And if they see you're in distress, they oftentimes think that the best thing to do for somebody in distress is to be something distressing. I'm going to be a distressing thing to match your emotional, you know,
output. Yeah.
Which is why, and I think in this letter, there was even a mention of having emotional distress. And that oftentimes leads to spirits taking advantage, you know, coming and saying, "Oh, here's I'm getting this vibe from this person. I will match the vibe." You know, you're emotional, you're sad, you're grieving, they will try to be a puzzle piece in the psychic realm, a puzzle piece of energy. Mm-hmm. You know, your energy is saying, "I'm scared." Its energy says, "Well, then I will be scary."
Yeah,
because that will be a connect. We will be connected then.
You know, it'll give you what it wants.
Yeah, and so, it's something to keep in mind that the sensation of I don't want to see anything, and the reality of not being seen, becomes a very interesting thing because that is, in part, how some people avoid their whole lives ever having anything paranormal happen to them.
Right.
Is they spend their lives saying I don't want to see anything. I don't want to see anything. I don't want to see anything. And anything paranormal is like, oh, well, then I will be nothing.
Yeah, and I am nothing. I am a mist.
As nothing. You know, and so there is a lot to take into consideration when you're going into these stories. You hear all these elements, and you're like, oh, you encountered a mist. Oh, you encountered this. You tug on the back of things. Luckily, in time, there's enough conversation that goes on that you finally realize, oh, there is a universality to it all. There is something going on that is repeatable and that is recognizable, patterns of behavior that you can say, oh, you know what? I heard this story many times over, which is why you should listen to people's ghost stories. Listen to people's ghost stories. You know, ask around, ask your friends. You'd be amazed because even the friends who don't believe at all have good ghost stories.
It's so true. I mean, I've given tours on so many occasions. Like, and sometimes, you know, you get groups that are a little bit more quiet and you're trying to get them to talk. And so you'll be like, does anybody have a ghost story? Has anybody ever experienced a ghost? And it's always the person that is like, oh, well, I had this one experience, but it wasn't really that crazy. Right. You know, and you're like, well, further explain. And they're like, well, you know, like a black mass came out of my closet and then suddenly it approached me and had these long teeth. And then it went back into the closet. And then later on, you know, I realized that it was a demon, but you know, nothing crazy.
Yeah, nothing
crazy.
And I'm like,
oh my God. But.
And sometimes people have just the one ghost experience, but it's so good. It's so profound.
Right.
You know, it's just that one thing that they really key in on because it defined their entire understanding of the world. You know, some people will it's why we call our fans parajunkies, and it's why we have that hashtag ghost heroine, is when you have a profound experience, your entire world changes. All of a sudden, there's room for an entirely different experience just day-to-day living.
Absolutely.
Cool, cool. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and finish this one.
Yes.
Our guest just got here.
I saw.
So, yep. So, however, and this is the last one About a few months ago, I experienced two nights of sleep paralysis in my boyfriend's bedroom. About a few weeks apart, I think. The first time, I felt something get onto the bed. Just a torso. Oh, boy.
That's awful.
And it was using its arms and hands as legs to walk.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm familiar with the torso.
That's crazy. It was revolting. It proceeded to climb on top of me and rub against me in a sexual way. I tried screaming and managed to say Jesus in my paralyzed state. A few weeks later, it started again. I couldn't move or make a sound. Something was there. I looked to my right and saw the silhouette of my boyfriend passed out next to me. To the left, I saw him again, outside of the bed and on the floor. He was larger than usual and slightly transparent. He reached his hand out to me and said, "Baby, please help me up." At that moment, I got freaked out and tried my best to scream and finally woke up, not sure if waking up is the right feeling. Thanks so much for reading my stories. Any advice or answers would be appreciated. Love what you do and for making me feel seen. All my love, Tiffany.
Oh, thanks, Tiffany. Tiffany, girl.
That's amazing.
You got a succubus.
Yeah. Although it's interesting because I don't know that we mentioned this before when we talk about sleep paralysis. One of the interesting subsects of sleep paralysis is that people calling out to God oftentimes breaks the paralysis. If you can call out, especially verbally call out to God, it seems to work, which is where the concept of sleep paralysis demon really takes root, is it seems to have an adverse connotation when you say, "I call out to God, I call the name of God," and the spirit retreats. Because it does seem now that you're dealing with a spiritual entity, a spiritual warrior. The half-formed is a type of demon that is desperately trying to appear human, look human. Plat-eye is one of them. Cannot completely manifest. So the torso, the walking on the hand torso, has been noted in time and time again, a demon attempting humanity. But because its understanding of how a human physical being is, they can't completely, or they don't have enough energy, or they don't have enough strength. So that's fascinating. The fact that it was sexual in nature, of course, goes towards a succubus or, you know, certainly primal thing. Because one of the things, again, people are always like, well, you know, what are they trying to accomplish? The succubi, the incubi, what are they trying to accomplish by, you know, rubbing up on you? It's about the gateway into our world. It's about becoming flesh. It's about becoming, because I think, and again, all of these things are theories based on hearing stories enough, seeing things, going through it. But in the cases of incubi and succubi, there is this idea that that realm sees our physical realm as an amazing place, a place of incredible, you know, extravagances and powers and things that we don't accept ourselves. We choose to believe that we live in a world where we have no power, when in fact we are endlessly powerful beings. You know, our ability to create, our ability to alter reality is paramount. So these demons know that. They want to be human, or at the very least present as human. And so one of the easiest ways to do that, of course, is impregnation, is to, you know, be born into this world utilizing this thing. And I want to say
it's messed up, Chris.
There's a lot of stories that go that way. There's a lot of stories, you know, even when it weaves itself into folklore, there comes this notion of demon spawn, children who are born through this congress. And then you start to think, oh, well, what's so great about being human? Because, you know, I got to get a job. I'm stuck in traffic all the time. Oh, yeah. But we neglect the spiritual potency of a human being, the spiritual purpose of being a human being. It's been kept from us. It's a big secret to us. The full potential of a human being. So, yeah, I think that that alone is such a creepy thing. And then when you add the half-formed, and then even worse, because
it formed into her boyfriend.
Which is classic hag behavior.
Literally.
Because of being ridden by the hag, being this. And scarily enough, anytime a demon offers something like their hand, Like, if you reach out and you take the hand, you are entering into the bargain. The devil is very tricky throughout folklore. It's not a contract. It's not, you know, you don't, I want this for that, then my soul for this.
Sure.
It is whenever you accept something from the devil, whatever it is. My favorite story was there's a belief that quicksand was developed by the devil so he could wait by it. And as you're sinking, he shows up. He's like, I got a rope. Yeah. You're like, give me the rope. And you take the rope from the devil, and all of a sudden,
oh my God,
you just sold your soul.
Yeah, he's like, ha ha ha.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a great short film.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For sure.
Well, and that's, I like that. You know, one of those things that comes up in folklore is that you have very little knowledge of the rules.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
not given the rules. So we make our own. We talk about it all the time. Go down to the crossroads and devil show up. No, mm-hmm. Well, you sign a contract and you'll get what you want. It's never like that, I don't think.
And know. That same, here's your daily fay. So,
oh my God.
But yes.
But it's true.
It that's is how, absolutely true.
That is like also deeply rooted in the fay folklore, because that's how fay operate, mm-hmm. is they're always trying to do a contract. They're trying to get a binding sort of deal with
yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
And especially it happens with children, because they offer, they're like, leave me honey and cookies yeah. and biscuits and stuff out. And
in exchange.
Right. Yeah. And children are thinking like, oh, I'm having a tea party with the fairies that I see. But really they're like, I'm claiming you. And right. that's what's horrifying.
And that plays into the concept of baptizing the young. Because mm-hmm. baptismal is supposed to protect them from, like, basically, without a baptism, you're open for, you know, any type of deal. You can make a deal. Once you're baptized, you basically have an agent.
Yeah. And that's funny.
And the devils have to go through the agent. And, and we should note that all the fae stories that we've cataloged in our lives.
Love that.
Our tandem with demon stories, yeah. our tandem with folklore from any culture. Every culture has these things. And so when we say fae, it's just the same as when we say demons. It was a name that we gave a phenomenon and a series of phenomenons that made sense, because mm-hmm. people witnessed things, people had experiences, and when they shared it, they're like, oh, we better come up with a name. Mm-hmm. What are we going to call it? And that's funny, because now I think there's a big cultural push to be mindful of names, be mindful of what you say and how you say it. But in a lot of cases, we made them up. We made these names up. Mm-hmm. They're not true names. They're the names that we know.
Sure.
So it's so bizarre to live in a time when people are being hyper conscious right. of things, whilst at simultaneously being hyper ignorant about things. They collide with each other on many accounts.
And I'll end my fae point with the other common tactic is fairy rings, little mushrooms oh, yeah. that grow step in a inside, circle. Yeah. They're like, ha ha, it's like a bear trap, essentially. It's a bear trap.
And we're the bears.
And you're the bear. So Lol. If you see mushrooms growing in circles in your yard, just don't walk in them.
Before we move on, I do want to say Madison and I will be going up to Western North Carolina to do a couple Pair Junkie exclusives.
I think we're going to do Helen's Bridge.
I know we're going to do Helen's Bridge. Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah. But so if you want to see that, we already have Lake Lanier dropped. And that was really cool. We have a bunch of other, you know, exclusive content that we upload weekly and whatnot, but those are going to be really, really cool. We're going to do a couple of them when we head up there in a week and a half. All right. So this is from longtime Pair Junkie Corrine Denny. Longtime Pair Junkie. Yay. Yeah, she is one of the OGs. All righty, here we go. Small Ghost Blips is what it's called. Wow. Hey, y'all. I hope everyone is well, and I'm loving all the new content so far. Thanks, Corrine. So to preface, this is more a small collection of brief experiences than an actual story about seeing an apparition or hearing anything. There's none of that. However, I think these little tidbits actually show an arc of when I used to be completely dismissive of ghosts and their existence entirely, to being more open and lighthearted about it all because of this podcast. Cool.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
All right. This might be a bit lengthy, so I apologize in advance if it's either boring or not impressive. No.
I swear this is going to be like the craziest story, how I said
with
earlier.
That preface, yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Also, feel free to debunk the last three stories, seeing as I'm really not sure what happened. The first two instances happened when I lived in Park City, Utah. Love Park City. Park City, Utah, in a crappy downstairs basement of someone's house with a roommate and our two cats. Quick side note, my roommate at the time mentioned in passing that she thought the basement where we were living was haunted. I dismissed it entirely and never gave it further thought. Anyway, at the time of these two brief events, I began working double shifts to make ends meet financially, so 3 to 4 times a week. I would work from 5:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at my main job and then go to my second job and work usually 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. So naturally, I was exhausted all the time, and I remember laying in bed one night, and I was trying to go to sleep, but it was one of those nights where I was so overly tired that I actually had a hard time falling asleep. I feel you on that one. I slept with my bedroom door closed to keep the heat in and my cat out of the room. I'm a terrible cat mother, I know, but he was always being a little brat and getting into things and waking me up and whatnot, and I just prefer to sleep alone without a pet since I have sleep issues more often than not anyway. But anyway, I was trying to go to sleep and I was just about to drift off when I thought I heard what sounded like someone walking around in my bedroom. And I know it was walking and not something else because I grew up sleeping in a carpeted room and shared a room with my sisters growing up. So I grew to know what footsteps on carpet sounded like. Normally, this might have freaked me out. And normally, I might have dismissed it. But I was so exhausted from sleep deprivation that instead of being scared, I sat up and very irritably said, "You need to get out of my room. Get out. I'm exhausted and I'm trying to sleep and you are not helping. As long as I'm in here, you are not allowed to be in here. In Jesus' name, I command you to leave." I listened for a few minutes, a few more minutes, and the footsteps had stopped and flipped myself back down and fell asleep.
I mean, that works.
Solid.
That works.
That was solid. Yeah. Well,
yes,
done.
Yes. A little later in the future, same apartment, I briefly remember waking up another night or really early in the morning and feeling one on top of my blankets being pulled off of me. Feeling one of my top blankets being pulled off of me. Sorry about that. I could have also been half asleep and potentially having a hallucination of sorts, but that one did spook me. We moved out shortly after, not because of the ghost, but because that apartment and landlord was a POS. I hope that was censored enough for Jameson. It aww, was. I made aww sure of it.
That was thoughtful.
Yes, it was. The next three experiences wouldn't happen till I moved to Dallas about 3 years later and after I started listening to this wonderful podcast. I don't claim that there was a ghost in these particular instances, but in all three instances, I couldn't find any other logical explanation. The first two experiences happened at my old job when I was at a gelato shop in Dallas. I was getting cake boxes from down from a shelf one afternoon so I could set myself up to finish and box some cake. And the boxes we were using at the time were different from our normal boxes. So rather than gathering a set amount of individual untaped boxes like normal, I was having to get multiple large U-line boxes that carried 4 individual cake boxes. So anyway, I was getting cake boxes and I was up on the ladder getting these and throwing them down to the ground. They didn't damage the boxes and I was working smarter and not harder. For a quick visual for the layout, I was on a ladder leaning against one wall that had a storage shelf that we stacked the cake boxes all the way to the ceiling, and on the opposite side of me was the walk-in freezer that also acted as a space to store dry goods and packaging on top of it. So I was in between two storage spaces, essentially. I threw one of the boxes down, and a box across from me on top of the walk-in freezer caught my eye because after I threw the box down, one of the flaps on the box I was looking at was straight up, almost as if someone had held the flap open to peek inside the box, and then the flap gently floated back down on top of the box a moment later, like an open then closed sort of flap. I immediately thought that's weird and didn't think gravity worked that way. Now, immediately thinking the rush of air from my dropping the box of cake boxes down caused the flap to open. So I tried it again and threw another box down while watching the box in question to see if the flap would open again, and it didn't. And I just stared at the box a moment and chuckled to myself and got down and put the ladder away. A few moments later, I was still puzzling over the incident when one of the front of house girls who frequently went to the top of the walk-in freezer to gather supplies saw me looking up in that direction and said, "I know it's hot as heck up there, right? Because I had just been up there and it was summer and there's no ventilation." And I said, "I mean, yeah, it's hot. There's no airflow or anything, right?" And she said, that there wasn't. So I explained what happened, and she just looked at me wide-eyed, and I looked at her and laughed and said, "You got someone checking out your stuff then." And I turned around and went back to work. Weeks later, at the same job, everyone else that worked in the back, like me, had gone home, including the owner, and so I was alone and working on some more cakes, and I had some music going, and it was slow up front, so the girls weren't coming or going or anything. It was just me in my working space. I was finishing up some cakes when all of a sudden, I saw on a shelf to my right above me, one piece of parchment paper fly off the shelf and make a perfect arc off of the shelf and directly into the trash can underneath the shelf. So it flew out and in a perfect arc, and it was just one piece. Now I already knew that there was some loose parchment paper on top of the box, and I knew the air vent was very close to where all this was located, so I automatically assumed it was the air. I went over to investigate and realized the air conditioning wasn't on because I didn't hear it running, and I ran my hand directly under the vent and also near the parchment paper and felt no airflow. So I backed away slowly and decided to acknowledge the presence, if there was one, and kindly ask it not to scare me or anything like that, but did say to have it at with my boss, the owner. We did not get along.
Sick the ghosts on the yes. boss.
A lot of authority figures who are being taken down here.
I know, right? And I went on my merry way. The last event actually happened last week, and it freaked me and my best friend out, and neither of us came up with a solution as to what happened that afternoon. We were back at her house working on some cake orders, and she realized she couldn't find her phone. We were in a rush because we had back-to-back meetings to attend for her new business, and so I volunteered to help her find her phone while she kept icing cakes. We had gone on a quick errand to buy butter for buttercream, and I knew I'd seen her phone on the kitchen counter since coming back from the store. She tried using her watch to find her phone to no avail. That's weird. I decided to start calling her phone since it was on vibrate, and I checked the kitchen again since that was the last place I'd seen it. Then her bedroom and bathroom, and then decided it had been in the area of the garage where there was no storage shelf for cake decorating stuff. I assumed that that's where it would be because we had an incident moments prior where the shelf had tipped and the said products had ended up on the floor. I just assumed she'd taken her phone with her out to the garage to compare airbrush colors to a picture for a cake order, and the incident happened and it was on the floor, or she'd put it on some random shelf in the midst of the chaos of all the products falling off the shelf. I heard nothing. The garage was silent. And then I decided maybe she threw it in the front seat of her car when she was grabbing something she forgot before the storage shelf incident. So I go to her car and I hear it buzzing, and I start looking in the seats in the console, and I realize it's coming from the back seat. And I found it wedged tightly in her purse that was strapped to the back seat of the passenger side headrest. I know what y'all are thinking. That's super commonplace for a woman's phone to be. However, my friend hasn't removed her purse from that spot or even used it in the 9 months I've lived here in Texas. The last time I saw her use that purse was when she bought it on an impromptu visit to see me in Utah the year prior. So that immediately weirded me out. I grabbed it, walked inside and said, and my best friend didn't look up from where she was working and assumed I hadn't found it and said, I know, isn't that so weird? I had no idea where I even put it, like I just had it. And I said, no, I found it. And you're never going to guess where I found it. And she looked up and I told her I found it in her purse and her eyes popped wide open and her mouth dropped. I said, I know you're particularly tired today, but is there any chance for whatever reason you just blanked and went back out to your car and put your phone away in your purse? And she vehemently denied it and said she didn't even go back to her car after we got back from the trip to the store. So I stared at her and laughed and said, ha, you got a ghost, and the ghost is trying to demonstrate how to take care of your phone. She constantly loses her phone and constantly gets all kinds of food matter on it. So anyway, those are my little stories. I hope I didn't bore anyone to death. Thanks for taking the time to read it. I love y'all so much and look forward to meeting y'all in the near future. Corrine. Thanks, nice. Green.
Thank awesome. You.
Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you for sending those in, because I think those are good examples of passive entities, because, you know, something we like to talk about is that, you know, some spirits are not always going to be doing like big grandiose gestures of trying to get your attention or things like that. Sometimes you just happen to catch them in the middle of things. Like the cake box thing, it just makes me think of JT's mom specifically. She's not dead. But like, I just imagine one day if she was ever a spirit, that's what she would do, because if anybody knows Hillary, she loves sweets.
Oh, sure.
And it's almost like the ghost is like looking at like, do I want a piece of that cake? Like, I might take a little slice of that. And JT probably would attest to it, you know, that his mom would totally be the type of ghost to be haunting a gelato shop. So well, I think, isn't that right, Jay? Absolutely.
I think almost first and foremost, there's an interesting discussion, which is, I always use the radio as an analogy for how we perceive reality. You know, we're all on a very specific channel. So like we're all on, you know, 97.5, the reality channel. So we're all on the reality channel. But what's around us, you kind of have to fiddle with the dials a little. If you want to experience more, if you want to see more, if you're open to that experience, sometimes you're touching the dial. And from your own words, you started to open up about this idea. You became receptive to the idea that these things might be true, that there might be forces at work that are, you know, beyond our explanation, which means your hand's on the dial, which means that you're now, you know, on 97.5. You're now open to things happening, making you more receptive, making it even more likely that paranormal activity can flourish around you. These things are, you know, it's a slippery slope. Once you start on a path of acceptance, things can happen. Things, you know, become more apparent to you at the very least. So you are dealing with, you know, because a physical item moving, that's a major event in paranormal activity. When something in our physical world is manipulated or moved, the amount of energy, when you think of like what it takes for your hand to pick up a phone, the muscles, the bones, the structure, none of that. A ghost has none of that. It's using an energy that is, we don't know. That kinetic energy is very difficult to classify or even know, but to know that you can pick an item up and move it. I mean, try to do that without your hands. Try to do that with just your brain. You'll see how hard it is. So yeah, that's a pretty intense entity if it's picking up phones and putting them places. Right. I mean, that's a big, you know, exertion of energy, but it's also probably because you're open to the idea that that could be the reason why it's doing things. Secondly, and I'm not sure if we've said this on the podcast before, the harder it is to live in a place, the more hearty the ghosts are, meaning like Utah is incredibly haunted. And part of that is because it's hard to live there. The weather is kind of rough. The terrain is very rough. You're not, you know, you're not this great farming community necessarily. Utah has a lot of harsh conditions to it. So to survive and thrive there, you have to be a very hardy person. And when you die, that hardiness stays. You know, I know that in the middle of Kansas, we ran into very forceful spirits, very forceful ghosts, because to live there, to be alive there takes a lot of will and strength. And so those spirits, they remain willful and strong. So, you know, I think I had that discussion about New England. New England ghosts, very pushy, very, very, you know, because New England was kind of a harsh climate too. They had harsh winters, harsh stories, you know, the mm-hmm. classic, I want to say, so my family kind of hails, my father's side of the family hails from New England. So we've heard stories of people being just frozen to death, just, you know, sitting on their porch, Lord. You know, and people come along and there's a person sitting on their porch in Vermont and they're like, oh, mm-hmm. old Dan didn't go inside last night and now he's dead.
Now he's a Dan-sickle.
Yeah, he's a Dan, right, Dan-sickle. And so, you know, that kind of story was something that, you know, ah, ha, ha, ha. No, don't ah, ha, ha, ha. That's horrifying. But, you know, that's how hardy people were. They were hardy enough to take death on the chin, and they're hardy enough to live in a climate that would kill you if you were careless, if you were careless for a moment. So, yeah, I think that having experiences in Park City, Utah, does speak to the hardiness of ghosts, because it does not require you to be open or aware. They're just plugging along. They're just right. going along. But I think it's interesting that you prefaced the story with saying that you started listening to this and started opening your mind to it, and all of a sudden you have these stories. I'd be interested to hear, as time goes on,
right.
how many stories, because right now we're reinforcing it. We're telling you, yeah, all right, okay, which means that, you know, your hand's on that dial. You're going to move up and down it. So, kudos to you for opening up.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Thank you, Corrine, for sending that in. Cause you know, like I said, it's good to send in your stories. And even if you think it's just something small, it could be Absolutely. Interesting talking points or interesting conversation in general. So always share your ghost stories with people who are willing to listen to it. Yes. So,
and we're a safe space. We're yes. not going to, we spend zero time debunking.
It is true. But thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. If you have a ghost story, you can send it to ghostmail@hauntedcitypodcast.com. If you don't already follow us on social media, you can find us under Haunted City Podcast on all forms of social media. And we also are hauntedcitypodcast.com for our website. So if you're looking to get merch, you want to have a nice Stay Spooky Y'all shirt or sweatpants that have a little ghost on the booty. So, you know, a booty.
A booty.
You can find that over on our website. But thank you guys again. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And my name is Madison Timmons.
I'm Chris Soucy.
And stay spooky, y'all.